Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC.
Hey everybody, welcome into the Cubs Talk podcast brought to you by Wintrust. Head to wintrust.com/cubs for more info. Tony Andracki here with Phil Barnes from Vineline. Phil, we just saw the Cubs take game three, or their third game out of the five-game series against the Cardinals. We heard people celebrating here with a keg a little bit ago in the bowels of Wrigley Field. But, you know, this win from the Cubs pushed the Cardinals 8.5 games back in the division in fourth place. Brewers also lost. Cubs are up 3.5 games on them as well. Did you really think this is where they would be with over a week to go before the trade deadline?
No, I mean, they're playing pretty good baseball at the moment. I think a lot of it comes down to the pitching. You know, we got to see all phases of starting pitching this series, and that it just progressed and got better. Hendricks and Lester obviously didn't pitch great on Thursday and Friday, and then Saturday, the first game, we had Chatwood, who had a pretty, I don't know,
Chatwood start.
Yeah, you know, the giving up just one hit looks really, really good in the box score. The six walks are obviously still problematic. But, you know, you get Montgomery and Quintana to go back-to-back quality starts, and that's all that you can really ask for at this point from those two guys. So.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Montgomery, since he's been joining the rotation, an ERA just over 3, a whip of like 1.18. And like you said as well, Quintana, I mean, he had 12 days off in between starts now. And this is exactly what the Cubs needed with the doubleheader, with playing 5 games in 4 days. They still have another week left of action before a day off. So this bullpen really needed Quintana to go deep, and he responded. He threw 121 pitches, tied his career high. And, I mean, he wasn't great either. He didn't have, like, a fantastic outing, but he battled and he kept the team in the game. And, I mean, moving forward, when you have guys like Quintana and Montgomery able to do this, Chatwood, if he can somehow continue to limit the damage, despite the fact that he has more walks than strikeouts and hits allowed this year, then, I mean, you know, probably don't feel comfortable with him in a playoff rotation at this point. But still, for the Cubs to be where they are right now, getting Jesse Chavez, who, by the way, looks like the best acquisition ever because he has 3 perfect innings so far. I mean, the Cubs are in a pretty good spot, but you don't love it with Yu Darvish still in the DL. We still don't know what's going on with him. And then, you know, you talked about, too, the progression. Kyle Hendricks and John Lester, there's still some question marks there.
Absolutely. You know, speaking of the positives first, you know, Quintana was kind of a question mark coming into the second half. And I think this is a really, really good positive sign. Obviously, there's plenty of baseball left to go, but I think this is the first time he pitched through the seventh inning since May 19th. First quality start since then in a while as well. So that's a good sign, and maybe negates the question marks that have surrounded Lester coming into the second half. You know, a lot of people liked, and you look at the baseball card stat line, you think that he had a solid first half, but everyone was kind of expecting regression, and I don't think we're going to see the extreme regression that we saw on Friday, but there's still, yes, plenty of questions with him. Hendricks, I think it just all comes down to command with him. He needs to go back to being able to find the corners. He, you know, he's struggled with that. A lot of his 90 mile an hour fastballs are getting too much of the fat part of the plate. I don't know. I'm not worried about either of those two yet, but you know, Hendricks is definitely going to have to turn it around if this starting rotation wants to be successful down the stretch.
So if I told you that Jose Quintana was struggling to find consistency, Tyler Chatwood had all these issues with walks, John Lester just got blown up and, you know, his ERA jumped like 60 points, and Yu Darvish only had 40 innings pitched, Kyle Hendricks still struggling to find consistency, and we're July 22nd. If I had told you that before, did you think any way the Cubs would be almost four games up in the division?
No. First and foremost, no, I did not. You know, the game is so predicated on pitching. And the Cubs have kind of proven that they can outslug teams. That's not, as Madden spoke the other day, is not a good recipe moving forward. But given what the offense has been able to do, it's worked. This is obviously a far cry from the greatest, possibly the greatest rotation of all time, as everyone had kind of hyped going into the season. It'll be interesting to see moving forward what the rotation's capable of doing. There's, like you said earlier, there's just so many question marks moving on. So,
one question mark right now, at least with the lineup, is not where Anthony Rizzo hits, I guess is the best way to phrase that. The greatest leadoff hitter of all time is still the greatest leadoff hitter of all time. He actually was reached base 17 times in the series, but he wasn't even the best leadoff hitter in the series, believe it or not, because Matt Carpenter was so ridiculous. But that being said, you know, Rizzo has talked about how comfortable he feels in that spot. It really has changed, you know, everything about what he's done. He looks better. He looks more comfortable. He's seeing the ball better, hitting the ball harder, even if it's not going out of the ballpark. I mean, he's raised his on-base percentage 40 points just from the eight games now that he's been in the leadoff spot. So at this point, the Cubs cannot take him out of it. But is that kind of this long-term view of it? I mean, is Rizzo really going to be the leadoff hitter for this team in the NLDS?
Probably not. However, as Madden has stated numerous times throughout the year and reiterated again the other day, it's only really one time where he's the leadoff hitter. There have been plenty of times, even in this series alone and dating back to the San Diego series, where he's come up with men on base in run-driving situations. So it kind of makes the whole leadoff role, should he be a leadoff guy, kind of moot, because he's stepping up with men on first and second and coming through. And so I don't anticipate him being the leadoff man in the event that they can move on through October. But I think it's one of those situations where he's probably the most ideal guy right now for the situation, especially given that the power isn't really there. Like the Rizzo's good for 30 home runs and 90 plus RBI a year. You're not seeing the traditional three spot power out of him at the moment. But he's managing to get on base, and the Cubs have so many boppers throughout the order, you know, essentially 1 through 8 who are 20 home run capable, that it's working right now. It doesn't, you know, why, if it's not broke, don't fix it type thing.
Yeah, and you know, going along with all the boppers they have so many on base guys. Right. So, yes, Rizzo and Bryan are the two best on-base guys on this team. They've been hitting 1-2 quite a bit recently here, and Madden's talked about that kind of backwards lineup. You got your on-base guys, who are normally your run drivers, whatever, RBI guys, in the middle of the order. Now they're at the top of the order and kind of setting the table for everybody else. As you mentioned, they are still getting their own RBI opportunities as well, but you know, you go through this Cubs lineup, and every hitter, with the exception of Javi Baez, has a .343 on-base percentage or higher. Javi Baez has a .325 on base percentage, which would be a career high for him, but it also, he leads the Cubs in every other category except for on base percentage. So, I mean, this team has so many different ways to beat you. They're proving it on a nightly basis. Now that they don't have a weak spot on the roster with Victor Caratini as the backup catcher over Chris Jimenez, you still have that switch hitting capability. You have an offensive a guy who can help the lineup when he's in there and give Contreras a spell. And then, yeah, I mean, you have Tommy Lasella off the bench. And as you mentioned, too, with the starters not going deep, Rizzo only hits behind the pitcher maybe once, yep, sometimes twice in a game. So it's not that big of a deal. Otherwise, he's hitting behind Tommy Lasella a bunch or Albert Almora Jr., as happened here Sunday. So there is a lot to like moving forward about this lineup and the way everything shakes up defensively. But moving to the bullpen now, too, you know, adding Jesse Chavez there is – Theo Epstein was talking about it. It's a kind of a stabilizing force, right? Is Chavez is a guy who could, he fills a Mike Montgomery role in a way that they haven't had since Montgomery was in the bullpen. He can go long. He's a right-handed option who can, you know, come out and throw one inning if they need. He's kind of a jack of all trades. That being said, Theo also mentioned that the Cubs are going to add another guy probably to the bullpen before the end of the non-waiver trade deadline, the end of July. And then they might also go out and get somebody in August as well. What's your kind of take on what the bullpen might need here moving forward?
I mean, overall, the bullpen has been pretty solid. There's not much more you could ask, especially considering where they were in October of last year. Dramatically improved. They have been taxed a little bit. So, first and foremost, you look for bodies, you know, yeah. Quality bodies.
With arms still attached, yes.
Absolutely. And, you know, Steve Cishek has been fantastic this year, but as you and I talked yesterday, you know, they're gonna probably need him a lot. And so beyond that, you look for power guys, the strikeout guys. I think, you know, Theo spoke today about how the uncertainty of Brandon Morrow isn't necessarily going to change their plan, but I do think that it does maybe push the urgency and the need to add a little bit more power, you know, a strikeout-oriented back-end guy. I'm not saying they need to go out and get a bona fide closer or anything, but I do think they need some power arms back there to complement the consistency guys, the Cishek's and the Strobes. And, you know, Justin Wilson didn't pitch great last night, but it has been pretty solid on the season. Obviously, the walks are still a little problematic, but overall, you've got to like the body of work out of the relief. But to your point, I think they do need something else. They needed something a little bit more, which at the same time I think might be a little difficult, just given the fact that everyone needs pitchers. We've seen the last couple postseasons now where that's kind of been the key to success. You know, you get your top end starters to your bulked up relief core, your bullpen, and that has kind of been the recipe for success. And the Cubs might be a little more thin than most of the other competitors, division title contenders, in that regard. So it'll be interesting to see how they go about it, and if they're capable of doing so.
Yeah, and, you know, the Brandon Morrow being on the disabled list for the second time in a month kind of shines the light on that as well. You know, they don't have a true bona fide option beyond that. Steve Cishek has done it for a while. Strope has done it a little bit. Justin Wilson has as well. Yeah, CJ has the capability, you know, but CJ missed 5-plus weeks of action as well with a shoulder issue. Brian Dunsing has been on the disabled list and has, you know, a whip almost near 2 and an ERA over 7. And he was a guy that they were looking to count on too. So, yeah, I do believe, I'm with you, I think they need at least one other option. They need a guy who can be a late-inning guy, I think, whether that's a closer or not necessarily, you know, is up for grabs. But I think they need another left-handed pitcher, because right now with what Yu Darvish is not giving this team, and you cannot count on him even in September right now, let alone October, Mike Montgomery is not getting out of that rotation. So you're not moving him back to the bullpen. You just talked about Justin Wilson's walks. We talked about Brian Dunsing. And then Randy Rosario here has – his peripherals don't look that great. Right. He's walked more hitters and he's struck out as well. He's given up a few homers. So, the Cubs need another left-handed pitcher. That's where a guy like Zach Britton would come in. I don't know if they for sure could pull off a deal like that. But either way, they still need at least one of these arms to really kind of counteract everything. But, I mean, moving forward, where the Cubs need to get everything right is starting pitching. That's where Theo said. That's how we started this podcast. That's what they need to do. And they know it, and they figured it out. But that's why in 2016 they coasted from this point in the season on, is because that starting rotation was dynamic. This starting rotation is not.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where it takes a toll on the inferior starting pitcher, takes a toll on the relief pitching. And you saw that a little bit last year too. You know, the relief core wasn't great the back half, and then was pretty bad in the postseason. And yes, the pitchers weren't executing, but also they got taxed heavily in the first half.
Very tired, yeah.
Yes, I think the third most used bullpen in baseball the first half of last year, which is one of those things where it's kind of like the body shots in boxing, where it's going to take its toll.
That's a good way to put it.
It's going to take its toll after a little while. So if the starting pitching can get on track, it not only helps you know, it's twofold, because it not only helps the starting pitching, but it also helps the bullpen. You know, and right now there are just a lot of question marks. You can't really put your finger on any of the five starters right now and say definitively, I can count on that guy to go out and give me six quality innings. You know, you want to look at Lester. You have faith in Lester just because he has a track record. And like I said, he has the ERA and the wins to show it. But, you know, the stats trend the other way a little bit on him. At the same time, you never want to count him out either. But
what we're talking about with Lester is he's striking out fewer guys than he ever has before, giving up harder contact and walking guys at a rate that we haven't seen from him since, I think, his first full year as a starter in 2008-2009 range.
Velocity's down, too.
Yeah, velocity as well. So you're right. There are these kind of underlying factors. But, yeah, I mean, you look at John Lester and you're like, okay, yeah, I feel pretty good about him in the postseason, but there is still that kind of nagging question in the back of your mind. And that's something that the Cubs will have to figure out moving forward. But that being said, I mean, Joe Maddon always talks about how momentum is the next day's starting pitcher for you. And the Cubs have found a way to get momentum despite the fact that their next day's starting pitcher has been a question mark basically every time that next day's starting pitcher wasn't John Lester in the first half.
Yeah, yeah. And that, I think that's what kind of makes the Quintana start today so important. You know, I kind of view him, and this is just speculation, I kind of view him as a confidence-based pitcher where he kind of, and he hasn't really shown it this year, but he kind of rolls his good starts together, and, you know, he gets one thing going, and it turns into something else. So going seven strong, it bodes well getting out of the break. You know, you kind of use the All-Star break as a reset button, and if you can jump out to a quick start, that's good. And so you can, to some degree, count on Lester, and then you've got Quintana coming out strong. And, yes, it's only two of the five guys, but at the same time, if you can slowly progress towards late August and September to get four or five of these guys clicking, then you're talking about a totally different ball team, a more complete ball club, and one that is really, really dangerous in a very wide-open National League.
Yeah, and, you know, we actually did see it once for a week. It was all the starters had gone through one full turn through the rotation against the Brewers, and I think it was late April, and whoever else they played during that stretch. But, yeah, they all fed off each other. They said the same thing. They saw, you know, Hendricks would go out and put up a bunch of zeros, and then Chad would want to do the same thing and so on. So, yeah, they can really also spiral off each other the same way that Jose Quintana can. But the last topic I want to touch on with you, Phil, before we let you go here is Chris Bryant. I mean, he's come back from the disabled list from the shoulder injury. He's healthy. He came back actually later than everybody expected. They thought he might not even need a disabled deal stint. Then they thought he'd only be on 10 days. Then he ended up being on another 4 or 5 after that. That being said, he's come back and he still hasn't flashed the power. He still does not look like Chris Bryant, like the guy who was an MVP a couple years ago. But that being said, I believe this weekend from watching him, I think he's tracking the ball better. He's found a way to get it some extension and at least lift the ball into the outfield, even if they haven't been hard, you know, line drives. So I do feel like there's a turnaround coming for Chris Bryant. I'm just not sure exactly when that is. What are your thoughts?
Right. I mean, I think the home run yesterday was pretty big. It showed that he is capable. You know, it's hard, it's crazy I'm saying this, but he is capable of doing this. And you know, even though he hasn't been producing in the traditional 2016 MVP version of himself, he's still driving the ball. He's still driving in runs. And I, once again, going back to the offense, the rest of the offense has been able to carry him. And we're not even talking about a bad offensive player in the state that he is right now, but when you see him, he is supposed to be the most dangerous guy in the lineup. He's supposed to be the guy that everyone on the opposing team kind of circles as the guy to watch out for. And, I mean, you saw it today where the Cardinals intentionally walked Rizzo to get to him.
That happened multiple times this weekend, by the way.
Right, yeah. And I was a little surprised by that. And I mean, that just also speaks to the way that Rizzo's hitting. But yeah, I mean, the offense has been able to carry him. I really do think that, for as good as the offense has been, it's going to need him to take it back into another gear, which, you know, he's not a guy you want to count out because he can catch fire quicker than most guys in baseball. So,
So either way, you know, all things told, there are a lot of positives for the Cubs right now. You know, going back to it, if we told you that Chris Bryant was getting, you know, Anthony Rizzo was being intentionally walked to get to Chris Bryant and July 22nd, you'd be like, oh God, this offense is not doing well. But once again, they've found a way to get through it. So the Cubs are in a great spot entering a four-game series against the Diamondbacks before going back to the Cardinals again. That'll do it for our Cubs Talk podcast. Again, I'm Tony Andracki here with Phil Barnes, and you can check Wintrust. We are sponsored by Wintrust. Go to wintrust.com/Cubs for more information. Thanks for listening.